I'm recording.
I am also recording. I am Vanna Hartzog.
It is very important that we are recording this podcast.
Bounty hunting is a difficult profession, wouldn't you say? I'm never going to get over that. Why is he there? Why is he in the fucking Star Wars TV show? That seems like the least Werner Herzog thing I've ever heard.
I mean, Rick and Morty.
Rick and okay. Morty is at least kind of kind of cultural commentary.
No, it's just not as mainstream.
Sure.
I
guess. I think it's pretty mainstream. I'm going to go out there and say that people that think of Rick and Morty is not.
At the time. No, okay. Now, yeah. But that was like season two. That was like 4 years ago.
I mean, as soon as season four drops, comes out, Rick and Morty is going to be the show again. You know?
Probably.
Yeah, it's big.
Or it won't. Crash and burn, and those 70 episodes will be completely worthless. That would be interesting.
It's just right up there with Dexter and The Sopranos and Game of Thrones for like endings that just ruined the whole show.
Yeah. I have structural questions about how I quite want to phrase this podcast. I have one thing that in theory would be fit for the breakouts, but it's probably pretty big and we shouldn't bury the lead. And then I have another thing that, I mean, guys, I don't know if you know what episode this is, but
I have something prepared for what this episode is. Are you guys ready?
Well, so do I.
Oh.
From last episode.
Okay, you do yours first, and then I'll do mine.
All right, guys. Welcome to Voluntary Viewing, episode 69. And you know what that means. As promised last week, we've got the Which U.S. President Is Your Perfect Boyfriend?
Yes!
From HottestHeadsOfState.com. And we are going to be taking this as a podcast in honor of... I mean, I know all of you... all of you want to fantasize about 69ing Chester Alan Arthur.
So. I'm going to be honest. I consider myself at least a small history buff. I don't know who that is.
Oh, wow. You've never heard of Chester Alan Arthur?
No.
Oh, one of the presidents. He's got mutton chops. It's pretty great. And a cool mustache. He looks like, what are those schnauzer type dogs? Kind of looks like a schnauzer.
I'm looking at the picture. I still don't know who this guy is.
Okay.
All right. I think
he was in like the 1800s.
Okay.
All right, you guys ready? Or no?
Okay, yeah, we'll do that and then the intro. Sounds good.
Okay, and then also I have to say something after the intro. Anyway, which is kind of a breakout. But anyway, all right, we're starting. You're okay with dating married guys, right? Yes or no?
Yes.
I am not limited by your simple morals.
Okay, good.
Of course I am.
Yeah, it's yes. And if it's no, then it's just James Buchanan because he's the only one that wasn't married. So... it's the only option. All right, great. So how would you describe your perfect boyfriend? It's either Martin Van Buren or not Martin Van Buren. One of them immediately ends the flowchart. So
not Martin Van Buren. You know what? That's a little too typecast for me.
Sure. He is a bit of a stereotypical president. Mm-hmm.
He's a fucking nightmare of a human.
Stereotypical president.
Got it. Okay, but did you know that Martin Van Buren has a Dutch accent? Oh, really? Or, I am still not interested in Martin Van Buren.
Just the byline at the end of this written by Martin Van Buren.
Yeah. If it's oh, really, it goes back to Martin Van Buren.
I'm more interested in Martin Van Buren now, but I don't think I want to commit.
He didn't quite cross the threshold just from that one thing.
Maybe he knew your great-great-great-granddad.
As Ryan established previously on the podcast, accents are sexy, but it's still Martin Van Buren at the end of the day.
All right. I see. Is the problem is that he is not tricky enough for you? Yes or no? Yes leads to another dead end. I think you can guess which one it is.
Oh my god.
I'm going to say no, they're not tricky enough. Or a no to the tricky. That's and the I will problem. Also say no to the dicky.
Yes, we would be going to tricky dick if we said yes there. Alright, so what is the main thing you're looking for in a boyfriend? Looks, money, brains, personality, or a Dutch accent? They're really, really pushing one guy.
I'm interested in who fits where in the flow chart for the first three.
Looks, money, or brains?
Yeah.
Money and brains lead to long paths. Looks lead to nothing because there's no one apparently.
Wow.
So and personality also, I guess, leads to. Actually, no, a very short path for personality too, which is kind of cheating. I know. Mm. Actually, no, that leads to a path too. So I guess we should say money, brains, or personality. What are we looking for in our U.S. president boyfriend?
Personality.
Yeah, let's go personality.
All right, personality leads us to. Do you mean that you want him to be a very tricky person? Like he has a tricky personality?
gonna go with no.
Yeah, is that yes? That's exactly what I mean, or no? I mean, I want him to be. So you can say no.
No tricky.
No. All right.
We narrowly avoided tricky dick again. No, I mean
by
I want
skin
him
skin of our teeth.
Yeah, so barely. No, I mean I want him to be funny, nice, down to earth, or weirdly cold and distant.
What the fuck?
Nice? Can we have a nice president that we're boning?
We can do nice. You guys down for nice?
Yeah, let's all go right. With nice.
Weirdly cold and distant leads to Benjamin Harrison, by the way.
Oh.
That's okay. The only option. It's all right. Nice like Santa? Either no, not like Santa, or yes, Santa.
No, fuck you, Rutherford B. Hayes.
Is that who it was, Ryan?
No, actually, it's not, but kind of.
Oh.
So no, not like Santa, or yes, Santa?
No, no, not like Santa.
Okay, we're going with no, not like Santa, because yes, Santa leads to William Howard Taft. I guess because he's fat, not because of the beard.
I thought Hayes was okay. Nope, never mind.
And then, but this one will give it away.
Okay.
Okay, but what if he just has a giant beard like Santa? It's either that's fine or no thank you.
No thank you.
Nope.
All right, that's fine would lead to either Rutherford B. Hayes or James Garfield. No thank you.
You know what? I would have been okay with Garfield, but go on.
But not Rutherford B. Hayes.
No.
All right. No thank you leads to, what if he just smokes a pipe like Santa? Either no or I guess that's okay.
I guess that's okay.
Mm, I've never dated a smoker.
I kind of think no.
Yeah, I don't want to date a smoker.
Not into smoking as much.
Okay.
Tobacco at least.
Fascists.
Whoa.
All right, no leads to, okay, fine, I get it. You hate Santa. So which of your hobbies do you hope to share with your perfect boyfriend? Owning a lot of pants, winning the Civil War, playing bridge, or having a cleft chin?
Winning the Civil War?
No, it's too easy.
That one does lead to a pretty obvious
Andrew,
one.
I think we're at the end of the route.
This is the end. No matter what, this leads to one.
I want to play bridge, because I've never played it before.
We can all choose our own from this.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with owning a lot of pants.
Lucas obviously goes with winning the Civil War.
Which is Ulysses S. Grant, the general.
What?
Andrew. Yeah, I mean, Abe Lincoln, I guess, also won the Civil War.
No, he was dead.
No. The war ended before he got assassinated.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I know so. Civil War end date. It was like a few weeks before, and then he got all upset. April 9th, 1865. Abe Lincoln death date.
Wait, I get stuck with the guy who botched.
April 15th, 1860, so like a week later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I knew all it right. Was like shortly after because John Wilkes Booth was mad.
I'm mad. So, I get stuck with the guy who botched reconstructing the South after the Civil War.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
He did fuck it up. Anyway, who do I get?
Yeah, you
went
with playing bridge, which is Dwight Eisenhower. I bet this is who my mom ended up with. Hi, Mom. And I went with owning a lot of pants, which, of course, led to none other than the man that Andrew didn't know, Chester Alan Arthur.
So, full circle.
Yeah, our segment came full circle.
And there you have it, folks.
And you know what else comes full circle?
What?
Oh, I thought you were going to intro it. Sorry, I was handing it off. That was an alley-oop, not a dunk.
Okay. Moving into... I gotta get ready for this. Episode 69, intro for the Voluntary Viewing Podcast.
Nice. Nice.
What's up, sluts? It's October 6th, and welcome to the world's most erotic sexual health and wellness podcast, Voluntary Viewing. Tonight, on episode 69 of the podcast, we have the world's most cunning cunnilinguist, Ryan Holtz.
Where's the script for this? I'm uncomfortable.
Then, we have the man they call Big Mac, because he's got that one-ton Jimmy and an itty-bitty sack. His balls are shrinky-dinky because the roids were so strong. But of course, that only makes the aforementioned Jimmy Jam look long. Andrew Clark.
If you do that one more time, I will stop recording.
Rounding out the cast tonight is me, Lucas DeRuyter, a man who is good at sex. We have a sensual show for you tonight. But before then, here's a song that I know you love to make love to.
Oh my god.
I'm uncomfortable.
That was my bit for episode 69. What do you got, Andrew?
Yeah, Andrew, what's your pre-prepared bit?
My bit is that this will be my last night on the Voluntary Viewing Podcast. Creative differences has driven a wedge between our group.
I regret to inform everyone that we will be parting ways. Amicably.
Andrew, I give you the best intro.
Yeah, I'm good at sex, you're bad at sex. I'm good at sex, you're bad at sex.
Andrew, yours was a reference to Lonely Island. What more do you want?
I want clear vocals on that song that you were playing.
Freaking you?
Are you gonna re-edit it? Or are you gonna keep the phone being played into a microphone?
I'll see how it turns out on my end and then go from there.
Sounds good.
But Lucas, we already know how it turned out on your end.
Yeah, we can all hear it. Oh, man. It's great. All right.
And Brian, well, what is your breakout? What are we opening with?
Moving into the breakout.
Fuck yeah.
Rather uncomfortably, because otherwise we'd be burying the lead.
Skipping news of the week.
Yeah. I saw The Joker on Saturday.
How was the clown movie?
It was good. It was pretty good.
Okay.
Not my perfect movie by any means. Maybe slightly disappointed because I went in with pretty high expectations. Joaquin Phoenix was good. I didn't quite buy him as the Joker for most of the movie, but granted, it's an origin story. So I guess I was more like my expectations were aligned with what I know the character to be. When in reality, I guess my expectations should have been more aligned with what the character was as he becomes the Joker.
Yeah. You know?
So I can see where that disconnect happened in my brain. And maybe if I rewatched it, I would enjoy it a lot more, knowing, you know, more what to expect arc-wise.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't become the Joker until very, very late in the movie. Let's just put it that way. It's good. It's got a lot of good moments. I don't know that the controversy is justified, really. I don't see where they're coming from.
Which
really.
Controversy? There are a lot.
The incel one, the angry white man shooting up places one. I don't think either. I mean, incel definitely not. There's nothing incel related to this movie, unless you're just referring to like a generic white shooter type as an incel, which is not correct at all.
Wasn't the thing that like all the incels, like, I mean, because this movie just came out and obviously there were previews up to like a month or so ago, but like didn't all the incels just kind of assume that he was going to be one of their guys?
Which I really, there was very little to do with women in this movie, and what was not about portrayal. I guess maybe if you're talking about like mental illness representation, but even that, like, it's just a well-established comic book character who's known for being deranged, and if you have a problem with that character, then I guess I don't know what to tell you. But he's nothing out of the ordinary from that sense. Like, I don't know, I didn't see the controversy. I also didn't think it was a masterpiece, but I definitely thought it was pretty good, and I'd love to see him more as the Joker. I'd love to see Joaquin Phoenix's Joker versus Jared Leto's.
Oh my god.
Okay, this will be a little bit of a...
I don't know, dude. Jared Leto is pretty top-notch. Who saw Suicide Squad, by the way? I saw it. Did any of you see
it? No,
never saw
it. Oh, yeah, no. Thank God you did not see it. just a garbage movie. Have we come up with a new word, our new dumpster fire? You were saying that you thought that word was kind of tired.
Yeah, not yet. Clusterfuck can sometimes get that meaning across.
Clusterfuck.
But even then, it's a little vulgar.
Yeah.
Cheapens it.
Clusterfuck.
Oh, I've been using shit show a little bit more.
Yeah.
I've been using nightmare more. So.
I'm fine switching to shit show for a little while.
Yeah, nightmare's iffy. I'll take shit show.
Yeah.
So there was, as people were reporting, increased security in the theater, which was weird, I'll just say. I don't know that they were armed or anything, but there was absolutely like security guards when there wasn't usually. And also, movie ends, I Google quickly, is there an after credits scene? And it says, no, there isn't. So I leave the theater, round the corner, and, like, everyone hasn't left the movie theater, so I get a little weird. Like, they're all standing in the hallway, and I'm kind of weirded out. But I kind of keep walking. Everything's fine. Who's standing at the movie theater door but fucking Joaquin Phoenix went to Burbank, California's
movie theaters
and was greeting us coming out of the theater. Like, talking to everyone who saw it.
Did you see it
for an extended period of time?
Did you see it on premiere night, or...
No, I saw it yesterday. Saturday at 5:40.
This is what Joaquin Phoenix does with his Saturdays.
I mean, he really did love the movie. Like, he was very passionate about it from the very beginning. So there's no doubt that it was a big-time deal for him. And it was really fucking cool. I talked to him for like 20 seconds, like literally undivided attention with Joaquin Phoenix for like 20 seconds. And like, I was just like, he was like, oh, what'd you think? And I was like, it was good. Like, really good. I know that it was a big time passion project for you, and I really enjoyed it. And like, kudos. Absolutely. I also just want to say that I'm like a huge fan. I love Walk the Line. I loved Her. Like, and he was like, oh, it's really great to hear that like my fans are coming out to see this. And like, you know, I can bring more attention to this sort of movie because there's a lot of really talented people that worked on it. And like,
okay.
I just consider myself to be part of it. And like, it was fucking crazy, man. And I was just like, well, thank you so much for coming out. And he's like, no, thank you for coming out. And I just walked away and I was like, what the fuck just happened? There was like a 10-year-old kid that had seen the movie and he was like, you're really young. Like he was just like interacting with everyone. It was wild, man. So that was cool.
You were throwing me curveballs left and right, and we were on minute 19.
Right.
I guess, did the movie merit any of director Todd Phillips' kind of comments about it on social media and in interviews, specifically the stuff where he's saying things like, I made this movie because SJWs made it impossible to make comedies, or whatever?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what he's saying, I guess. There's dark humor. in the movie, but I don't think that dark humor has ever been quote-unquote off-limits, right? Isn't it just kind of more like lazy humor taking pot shots at marginalized groups? Like,
yeah.
I don't know about that.
And then I guess my other main response, you kind of opened of your description with saying that, yeah, the Joker is kind of this established character, and, like, everybody knows who the Joker is, but there are so many different interpretations of him. There was another Batman Scooby-Doo crossover that came out, I think, last weekend, where the Joker, played by Mark Hamill, is in that, and he ends up swapping makeup tips with Daphne. And
okay.
Yeah, like, that is also the Joker, and I'm guessing... do you feel...
I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but I would say the main difference is he's got a lot of anxiety. He always, even if he's played as, like, campy, goofy, he's a person who's very in control.
Right.
Like, he's it's the antithesis of his speech where he talks about how he's just an agent of chaos and he doesn't do plans and he just goes with the flow. He's really the exact opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his character, and I feel like that's what the monologue is trying to say, is that he's totally lying when he's saying something like that. He is the ultimate schemer. He's the ultimate person whose plans come together. He's very confident. He's very devoted to the way that he's acting. And this was not that before he became the Joker.
Okay.
Once he became the Joker, he assumed some of those traits. But the whole movie, it wasn't the character that I liked. I was watching someone turn into the character that I liked and then only got the character that I liked for maybe 20 minutes at the most.
And then...
So I would say that's the difference.
Okay. I have heard that, you know, Joaquin Phoenix is kind of the show with this movie. And then my last kind of comment is, I guess for me personally, I've always kind of thought as, like, whatever interpretation people are going with for Batman, the character of the Joker kind of is the means to really drive home the point or the message of whatever Batman people are saying, because the Joker is just anti-Batman in a lot of stories. Do you feel like the maybe kind of message or themes of this movie were muddier because it did not have a Batman figure to juxtapose the Joker with?
I honestly been one to kind of do more of the opposite, like define Batman by his relationship to that version of the Joker.
Right.
In opposition to defining the Joker by their version of Batman.
Yeah.
So I guess it's kind of, I don't know how spoilery it is, because it's in all the trailers and everything, that he starts a movement.
Yeah.
Like, he absolutely causes unbelievable chaos in Gotham from very little effort. Like, so it's almost like a world without Batman, how unbalanced the scales could be towards someone like him. So I guess, no, I didn't miss that sort of presence, and I didn't think that the movie suffered for it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like I said, it's really an origin movie, and he's not nearly as dastardly, and, like, I'd love to see a continuation, which I don't think is going to happen.
Okay.
Because I did like what I saw from his Joker. But I would say most of the movie, he was playing Arthur Fleck. He wasn't playing the Joker. So, yeah.
Andrew, I apologize to you. I've been dominating the conversation, asking around about this movie. But is that is A. Fleck supposed to be an Affleck nod?
No. What?
I don't believe so. I think Arthur Fleck is the Joker's real name in some versions,
I don't think
right?
He's ever had a real name.
I think he has in some versions of the comics.
He has. Come on.
Okay. Andrew, you got anything?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
No.
Jade and I are going to try to go see it this week.
I'd love to know.
I was going to go see Ad Astra this morning with Michael, and then, like, we looked this morning, we're like, oh, the movie theater is no longer showing Ad Astra.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. That was fast.
That was like 13 days. But yeah, so Jade and I are going to try to go see it this week.
Well, maybe Joaquin Phoenix is going to show up.
I doubt it.
I kind of doubt it too, but like...
But if he's there, like I will let you know.
He was short. Definitely a lot shorter than
he's
I
a Hollywood
kinda
actor.
Thought.
Of course, yep. He's short.
He was 5'8", and I don't know if he was even that tall, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it was wild. His agent was there.
Yeah.
He had a security guard that was just following him around, and there was another movie letting out in like 20 minutes or whatever that he was gonna go to as well. So, oh look, they even have a Deadline article.
Oh,
Joaquin Phoenix makes surprise appearance at downtown LA public Joker screenings. So they're talking about the downtown LA ones. They're not even talking about the fact that he was in Burbank. He was in the middle of nowhere for no reason. And that's exactly what he looked like with his hoodie.
Okay, Ryan. Burbank is not the middle of nowhere.
It's not anything like...
It's not downtown LA, but...
Or Hollywood, or Westwood, or Santa Monica, or West Hollywood, or like there's a million other neighborhoods that you would expect him in before Burbank.
I mean, Burbank is adjacent to Encino, California, home of Patchy the Pirate.
It's not. There's like four neighborhoods between Burbank and Encino.
Well, fuck me then. I took a chance. I tried to add, and I just
you
burned.
Took a shot. You know, it's worth a shot for sure.
Mm.
It was cool. It was a really cool thing that was a big time. Like wow,
good
for someone that. Not to brag, see celebrities a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, holy shit. Like, I'm like talking, like you don't usually get to interact too much. If
right.
anything, it's just like a quick one sentence exchange about like, whoa, sure is hot or something like that. It's not like actually talking about, the types of movies he makes and stuff like that. So pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. I did not have myself mentally prepared to get into the break.
Want to know what else is cool? The news of the week. News of the week. News of the week. News. Start us off with video games, Lucas.
We can actually skip the first one because I don't know. It seems... public service announcements. Maybe don't work for the people who made the game Heartbeat because they are pretty transphobic. That's it. That's the point.
It sounds like an anti-abortion game.
Heartbeat? Oh. It's about a lesbian romance, but okay. Sure.
That was just a joke that apparently did not stick.
Mm. Now
right.
You know what I feel like when
this.
I talk about
this.
Burbank. Blizzard and Jeff Kaplan go full beta and say that Nintendo can have any of their characters from Overwatch if they want to put them in Super Smash Bros.
You can have them. Come on. You can just take it, man. I don't even care. Come on. Please. Anything. I'll do fucking anything. I'll do anything.
Oh, my God.
Our game is dying.
I'll make you feel good. Tracer's our girl. Tracer's our mascot. She'd be my first choice. And then they just pick, like, fucking, I don't know, some random ass.
We want.
The purple one?
Purple one? Widowmaker?
No, wasn't there the new one?
There's so many colors.
I thought there was the new one that, like, wasn't... I don't know.
Should it be the fucking hamster that's in a ball for some
reason?
Yeah,
that one. That'd be cool.
We want Torbjorn's turret as an assist trophy.
Torbjorn.
It's Torbjorn. Come on, Ryan.
Wow, I am pathetic. The first comment is Nintendo. We'll take Torbjorn. Blizzard. What? But okay. What? Really? And they just put out their hand to shake on it. Yeah, that'd be cool. Torbjorn in Smash?
We'll take the little balls floating around Zenyatta as a Mii sword fighter skin.
This is sad, guys.
Yeah.
This game was really, really relevant.
I paid $60 for it back in 2015? 2016.
You probably played it for 60 hours, right?
I got my money's worth, but...
Yeah.
Lucas paid $30 for it for me to play.
Nice.
So technically, Lucas, you spent $90 on this game.
Wait, what?
You gave me Overwatch as a gift.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because we were living together, and then you got your own PlayStation 4, and then that's
And then
right.
I moved out, yeah.
Bro, Andrew, you're like a fucking a sugar baby with video games. Your friends are buying you video games to play with you all the time.
I haven't fucking asked for any of
Andrew,
them.
Andrew!
I'm not going to say no.
Andrew,
$60 worth of games.
Oh, I've got more than that.
Oh my god. You have other friends?
Lucas also bought me Horizon Zero Dawn, which is one of my favorite games I've ever played. And Lucas is like, hey, this is on sale for $20. Happy early birthday.
No. How? The exact story of how I bought you Horizon Zero Dawn is that I knew it was your birthday coming up. I looked online for how much an Amiifa from Breath of the Wild would cost. At the time, a year ago, it cost $40. Looked up how much Horizon Zero Dawn would cost. Saw it was $20. And then got you Horizon Zero Dawn, your favorite video game.
I'm okay with that. And then a year later, Lucas got me a fucking Mifa Amiibo for the Switch.
$25.
Nice.
I am positive that there are other games that I have been given for free from friends. I can't think of them right now.
Oh my god.
But they're out there.
The sugar baby of video games.
I'm not calling you daddy.
I didn't ask you to.
Andrew, you don't need to for me. I know.
Tonight on Voluntary Viewing, episode 69.
Every time I close my eye. The legal battle between Gearbox CEO Randy Pitchford and his former legal counsel, Wade Callender, the inspiration of the Cat Callender
Cat
TV
Callender.
Pilot.
The series...
has come to an end. Both parties.
No.
But we were gonna be on prime time.
Both parties have agreed to a motion of dismissal, saying that they have resolved all claims between them. But
did you also see that they like had to apologize to each other?
Yep.
Part of the resolution.
It was weird.
It
say you're sorry.
I won't put kitty porn on my laptop anymore.
I'm sorry.
That, Andrew, that is the genuine specter that's going to hang over both of them for a while. And it, yeah, this is just both parties realized, hey, we're not, none of us are going to come out good at the other end of this, so let's just call it off. And they did.
Let's call the whole thing off.
I imagine that when this went down in the courtroom, the judge is like, and I find the defendant not guilty. And, you know what? We're throwing everything away on, one, what is the word I'm looking for?
Condition.
One condition. You have to shake on it. And then Randy Pitchfork walked up to his old lawyer and was like, you know what? Fine. And then he, like, drops a Derringer out of his sleeve and shoots him in the chest. And then he turns around to his bounty hunter friend and says, I couldn't resist before getting shotgunned through a wall.
Jesus Christ.
Please do not compare Randy Pitchford to one of my favorite Tarantino characters.
I mean, this is absolutely going to be, like, the season one finale of The Adventures of Cat Callender,
Cat
right?
Callender. The CCCU. The triple CU. Cat Callender. Such a worthwhile character.
Catch us next season when firefighter fights for revenge for his father's death.
Next season. One cat calendar night, as they call it.
What's going on with Red Dead?
Pretty cut and dry. Rockstar announced that Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming to PC in November, so...
That
all you elitists can rest easy.
I
all you had to do was wait a full year.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
I think this will probably be good for the game too. More people playing it, obviously good for the game, but right now it doesn't seem like it has as long of legs as what GTA 5 did, so...
Well, I mean, GTA 5 is an anomaly.
That is a ridiculous anomaly.
We may never see something like that again.
Well, I mean, you could compare it to games like Minecraft.
Until GTA 6 comes out. Well...
Like, there are games that have ridiculous legs without ever, like, releasing a new game. And that's kind of hard to compare to.
Minecraft is a little bit different because, like, kind of the big idea of Minecraft is that you, as the user, are creating the content for yourself, in a way.
Okay, what about, like, StarCraft 2?
Yeah.
Or Counter-Strike Go?
Dota, League of Legends.
Yeah,
There's definitely games out there. GTA 5 might be the biggest success in terms of, like, longevity. But it does happen, and it is wild. Ugh. I honestly still struggle to believe that they're still releasing content for that game.
Right.
Like, big content, not like, hey, we put a new hat in
exactly,
the game.
Exactly, no, like game-changing shit still comes out. Do we think that Red Dead Redemption 2 is going to have a next-gen console release similar to GTA 5, or is the window a little too big?
I think that with them doing the PC port, and I'm sure putting effort into that, and the next gen coming out, I'm guessing, end of next year, we won't see it. I don't believe.
Is it going to be releasing on Steam? That's my selfish question.
I think Rockstar has their own launcher, so...
Well, but GTA 5 is on Steam. So they had, like, a GTA launcher? No, it does say Rockstar Game Launcher.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That actually sucks, as I've learned, because I downloaded Madden 20 on Origin, and I cannot play it with my Steam Link because it's just not optimized correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, if it was downloaded from Steam,
I mean, for what it's worth, I have heard that Origin's kind of sucks and is its own beast, and maybe isn't representative of all company launchers. But yeah.
It's not like the launcher itself. It's like if the game is opening as a standalone EXE, it's a lot less likely to play nice with the Steam Link so that I can play in my living room.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Like, I can still play it on my PC just fine.
Yeah.
It's just when I have to play it in the living room, it is a nightmare. Like, it just does not really work. And so if that's the case, I don't know. I like to play RPGs on the couch.
Yeah. With,
you know, other shit going down.
Mm-hmm. But,
oh, well.
Over the course of a Nature live stream, quotes, Game Freak revealed that Galarian Ponyta will be in Sword and Shield.
Actually,
I know Ponyta.
Yeah.
I know Ponyta.
I actually think Ponyta and Rapidash are a good pick to get get new forms because they were kind of the fourth tier fire Pokemon when Pokemon came out, you know? Like, Charizard and Arcanine fighting for that number one spot, then you got Magmar at number three, and then Ponyta and Rapidash were number four, and that was all the fire-type Pokemon back then.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about Ninetales. Number fifth Pokemon, then.
Yeah. People seem excited.
I am excited. And I'm also excited for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Part 5 to get an English dub that's premiering on Toonami on October 27th.
Whoa. And the crowd goes mild.
I want... Yeah, they'll probably be able to keep Freaking You as the ending song.
You know what? I'm happy about this.
Why?
Because now I have more fuel to add to my favorite pastime, being angry at weebs.
Why?
Why do I like being angry at weebs?
No, why does this make you angrier at weebs?
Because I fucking hate this show.
Give it a chance. Watch the first three episodes.
I've seen episodes.
Andrew, you understand that each part of it is pretty tonally dissimilar from the rest of it.
You showed me what you said, and I quote, were the best episodes in the show, and they sucked.
That was 2 years ago, and
there's been so many more better episodes.
There are 100 new episodes of the show since you saw two episodes of it 2 years ago. Episode 5 is all gangster shit. You might like it, actually.
Wait, why would I like that?
Because you like gangster movies.
All right. Is that because I'm Irish, Lucas?
Because you own a DVD of Goodfellas and The Godfather. And you've told me multiple...
Goodfellas! Hell yeah, dude. This is canon for me now. Goodfellas. Is absolute... No, like, I'm not making fun of you. That's better. That's so much better. Hell yeah, dude.
My heart just fucking stopped.
Goodfellas for life, man. Hell yeah. I will never refer to it as anything else. In fact, I don't even know what the original is. It's Goodfellas now. Hell yeah. Oh, man.
Good God.
Goodfellas.
Andrew, look up the Doppio fight, because it's really good in JoJo's Part 5.
Sure. All right, Lucas, take us away with the next bit of TV news.
Steven Universe is going full Dragon Ball, with the next phase of the franchise being called Steven Universe Future. Anything in the film category? I know you guys can't add to this, but I'm excited about it. I really hope they start getting into some of the loose ends of the show and some of the bigger ideas, like Steven maybe hating his mom, and then hopefully holding characters that committed literal genocide more accountable for their actions. I'd like that.
That sounds, you know, reasonable.
I do actually have something to add in the film category. I'm sorry I didn't put it in the planning document. But so this morning I went to a screening of Ad Astra, and when I came out, none other than Brad Pitt was waiting outside of the movie theater, just waiting to greet people who had seen the movie that he was in. And I was like, wow, Brad Pitt, like, what are you doing here? You know, you were great in the movie. I could tell that you put a lot of passion into it. And he's like, yeah, you know, I want to make sure that my fans are able to get contact with me and show them that they mean as much to me as I mean to them. So, a very special moment that I will never forget.
And then you totally dicked on him and just asked him questions exclusively about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I asked him how his wife is doing and if he ever sees his kids anymore. Yeah.
Ryan had a genuinely cool moment, and I feel like you're minimizing it for him right now.
What? No.
Okay.
Can't nobody take this away from me.
I'm not trying to take anything away from Ryan, because I think that's genuinely awesome.
Okay.
Just making a joke, Lucas.
Fair enough.
God, it's so hard to be funny in this age of woke culture.
Hashtag cancellation culture. Hashtag... I don't know. Lost the thread.
Well, we were canceled last episode, so...
That's true.
Oh, God, are we becoming, like, reactionary? Just realizing that we made the same joke 2 episodes in a row at the expense of a contentious movement.
I feel like we're doing it... It's very clear we are doing it ironically, though. At least I am. I'm safe.
Ain't no room for nuance here. I believe that either everyone should be canceled or no one should be.
I know writers who use subtext and they're all cowards.
Yeah. Just say what you want to say. You and your good storytelling.
We're...
I don't know.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I thought we were moving on. You finish up.
No, we are moving on, and, nope, we are not... We're not reactionaries because we're about to dunk on Jacob Wall and Jack Berkman, two known liars and politically conservative figures who recently tried to claim that Elizabeth Warren had an affair with a 24-year-old Marine. And somehow they thought that would make people not want to vote for her. And only shows that neither realizes that people who fuck are cool.
Also, the guy that they said was, like, the Marine that had the affair with her. They showed a picture of, like, they're like, here's an identifying feature that, you know, we have, figured out it's the same person, blah, 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 blah. And it was, like, a dude with what looked like a press-on tattoo on his lower back. That was, like, the Triple X logo from the Vin Diesel movie. Mm. Also, yeah, Jacob Wall and Jack Berkman are, one, like, they do this all the time where they just, like, we have breaking news and then just, like, make up some shit. But, like, also, Jacob Wall's a fucking fraud and, like, is on probation because he pretended to be a lawyer and, like, charged people. When he's not a fucking lawyer, he, like, pretended to be a lawyer in, like, chats and stuff like that and got people to pay him money and then just took it.
I do not use the designation known liars loosely, but that is...
Well, yeah, it's just, like, I don't know how he's not actually in jail. It's one thing to just be a shitty liar on the internet. It's another thing to, like... commit what appears to be a felony.
Did you guys see Elizabeth Warren's kind of response to it?
No.
She didn't directly address that this thing, like, she was being accused of this, but her response was, now seems like a great opportunity to mention my time at the University of Houston, where I was able to attend for free thanks to their incredible college program. Go Cougars.
Hey.
Yep. Do you out there want the Mangekyo Sharingan but don't want to kill your best friend? Don't worry, Michael B. Jordan and Coach are putting that shit on a shirt and shoes and backpacks and are selling a bunch of Naruto merch for some reason.
What?
Is this publicly licensed? Did they have to pay a fee or is this all, like, public?
I think they did have to pay a fee for it. That being said, the actual Naruto brand is... I don't even know what, now that they're going full-on spin-off, like, Joey series with the property. So, the people behind her are looking for whatever money they can get. So, yeah.
Yeah? Is Michael B. Jordan, like, poor or something?
Michael B. Jordan just really likes anime.
He also just does everything.
Yeah.
Like, for a young, really in-demand actor... He really, I don't know. I guess I don't know what I expect. Like, do you and get that money. But, like,
yeah.
Fuck, man.
I feel like this one is less about the money and more about him just really wanting his name on Naruto merchandise. But okay.
Sure.
All right. This last one is a little more heavy. Following unsuccessful mediation efforts, a Texas judge ruled in favor of the defendants on all accounts in Vic Magonia's civil suit, where he claimed that they defamed him when they brought up his history of inappropriate behavior. Well, this is a weird legal thing happening in the relatively niche anime industry. It's also a pretty big victory for the Me Too movement, in my opinion, I guess. And hopefully this will encourage others to speak up about inappropriate behavior from their professional peers and encourage businesses to fire those employees.
Retaliation.
I guess this kind of is the first, to my knowledge at least, legal instance of people outing a serial harasser and then him trying to take legal action against them and then failing on all accounts. And, I mean, that's not nothing, right? That's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No big deal. Good shit. This right here, that's that good shit.
Hell yeah. Do we have any memes? Good shit of a different variety. I think goose memes are still kind of, they're simmering, you know?
Yeah.
They're in the background.
They're on the back
burner. Yeah.
They're around.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging in there.
Did you guys see the one where it was the news article of goose breaks through taxi driver window? And then the caption is, and you all said video games don't cause violence.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't think I've seen anything lately.
There was one that I think has good meme potential, but I have no idea if it's going to be used or not.
Ooh.
Apparently at like the Oklahoma versus Kansas football game, there was a weather delay and most of the people cleared out. Except there was like one lady sitting in what I think was the student section, fucking knitting. And like the camera just slowly panned out from her. She was like sitting there knitting and there was just no one anywhere near her.
I did see that.
It was pouring rain, or
yeah,
I think yeah, it was weird.
It was really raining outside. The game wasn't going to start, and she was just sitting in the rain. And she was actually crocheting, which I don't know if that makes it better or worse.
I feel like they might check knitting needles at the door of a football game.
That is fair.
Hmm. I don't know if I have any breakouts that match meeting Joaquin Phoenix.
That was what broke out for me.
Almost done with Link's Awakening, and it's kind of taking a turn where a lot of the character, because the setup for this game is that Link is on a ship that capsizes and he's maybe dead, but then in his imagination he ends up on this island and has to beat all of the enemies, all the bosses, and wake the god Windfish, and then he can be alive again. But there are human NPCs in the game, and all of them realize in like halfway through the game that if Link does that they all just disappear. Like, they don't exist anymore. And then it's all of them kind of processing that, and that's really interesting.
I agree.
We live in a society.
It is both shallow and pedantic.
Oh, Family Guy.
Yeah. I guess I didn't want to put this in the meme, but my other one, it's kind of a meme, but I hate the bastardization of meme to mean, like...
Any joke?
Anything that's popular.
Yeah.
Like, which is like in direct opposition to yours, is Bernice from South Beach Tow. Have you guys seen this shit lately?
No.
Yeah.
What the fuck is happening?
I have no idea.
There's a video that randomly was posted on Twitter and blew up of her. I don't know if you've heard of these types of like towing and repo shows, Lucas, on True TV.
Okay, yeah, but, yeah, I know what you're talking. Yeah.
So one of them is called South Beach Tow, and there's a character named Bernice who's just a large like enforcer type woman.
Yeah.
And she travels around with this like weak, overweight guy, I guess, and they repossess and tow cars. And there was a video, apparently back in 2013, they posted an episode in which they were repossessing or towing a car on like the fourth floor of a parking garage. And the owners came back, got all mad, because they always do in this show, because that's the whole point. By the way, it's reality. It's not fucking real, like, at
no.
all.
Yeah.
Like, I really hope people realize that it's scripted.
If you can see...
Like, if you had any doubts before, like, seeing yeah, no, this the clip is like... like, clearly just a joke.
Yeah.
If you can see their face, they signed a waiver.
Exactly. So they're on, like, the fourth floor. The people come back. They're all mad. Eventually, they get in the car and, like... But it's already hooked up to the tow truck, but it's not, like, lifted off the ground so they can still drive it. So Bernice gets behind the person's car and tells the guy that she's with to, like, lift up the car so that it can't drive and then they can, like, tow it still. And the person in the car throws it into reverse, like, hits Bernice and knocks her off a fourth floor of the parking garage, and she falls, like, flat on the ground.
And he's like, oh, it my is God.
A, yeah. It is a really corny fall. Like, it doesn't for a second look real.
No, you can... I mean, it's a fucking doll that they
yeah,
tossed
out. Yeah, it's very, very clearly a doll.
They go straight up Kermit with it. Okay.
Yeah, Kermit in the Kermit suicide vine, which is amazing. It's exactly like that. She hits the ground. She, like, lays there for a while. You think she's, like, dead. Finally, like, they run... Like, the guy runs down to the bottom, and, like, the people are, like, trying to get away from the parking garage in their car. Bernice gets up like the fucking Terminator, walks over to the people as they're trying to get out of the garage, punches in the driver's side window, and pulls the woman out of the car. Like a goddamn fucking beast mode.
Like and, the Punisher.
Yeah, exactly. Like an absolute Terminator. And then they tow the car. And it's just like, I really hope that people, like, are enjoying this for the right reason, because someone wrote that, and it's legitimately pretty fucking funny.
Yeah.
And not that, like, they think that, like, oh my god, she's such a badass. So I feel like that was a lot of the responses. And I'm like, well, the actress absolutely pulled that shit off, but, like,
And then she makes some joke about her Obamacare not kicking in yet, so she can't take an ambulance.
Yeah.
Kind
of love it.
The only thing that made me laugh harder than that recently that I've seen was a video of this group of dudes, and the video was posted and it was called, like, what they want us to do when an Amber Alert goes out. And it was like a dude playing video games, and then, like, his phone goes off and it's like the Amber Alert signal. He's like, oh my god, and he, like, throws his controller, runs outside, and simultaneously every single person on the block is running out of their house. They're like, black Honda Civic, black Honda Civic, we gotta find the black Honda Civic, we gotta save the baby. And then they, like, see a black Honda Civic and they commandeer a vehicle and chase it down.
Oh my god. Yeah, it is kind of true. I always feel awkward and I almost don't want to look at it because the odds that it's the person. Like, I just imagine myself driving around, and then I get an Amber Alert for a green Honda Accord and go, like, oh, shit, oh, fuck. Like, people are going to be looking at me pretty weird.
Just shouting out the window, I'm not the abductor, yeah. I'm not the
it's
abductor.
It's not me. It's don't worry.
We're all good over here.
Yeah. And I'm just like you.
Not just don't worry. Like you. It's okay, I'm one of you.
I'm normal.
Huh, human music.
I like it.
Packers won. Fell apart in the second half, but they won.
Yeah, I got dicey there for a bit.
No,
which...
I was never nervous, literally.
I knew we were going to pull away with the win, but we were getting torched.
Because we stopped trying,
prevent
you
defense.
Know?
prevent defense. There's not nearly as much urgency. And then as soon as there was even a hint of urgency, which, by the way, they were treating it as though it was going to overtime already, when they needed either a field goal and a touchdown to recover an onside kick, which stands at about 7 to 8% chance of happening, and then score another field goal or touchdown just to get to overtime.
No, no, no.
With one timeout. And a lot of those announcers were absolutely treating it like overtime was an inevitability.
Which was bullshit.
Like, yeah, and I was like, hold the fuck on.
I've said so privately, but I will say publicly now that Fox announcers, I think, are the weakest of the bunch.
I'd say ESPN, but that's kind of an asterisk because they only do Monday night.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Yeah.
Who do they have at ESPN again?
Booger.
Oh, I was going to say, who's got Booger? Booger fucking sucks. I'm sorry, Booger, but like, step it up, man. I'm out here calling out Booger.
We out here
doing bad shit.
Calling out Booger McFarland. Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't nervous. It was a good game. We played well. 4-1, and we've looked good in all five games. I'm down.
Yeah.
Keep the good times rolling.
I obviously
we gotta get Za'Darius Smith out of there, man. We gotta rest him.
Yeah, he's clearly fucking banged up. Jesus Christ.
He went down three times.
Yeah. I thought for sure, or it seemed like Ian was about to get screwed out of yet another win. But it turns out that he still might be the low scorer this week, because apparently it's just a fucking wild fantasy week where everyone is performing.
What the fuck?
Pretty ridiculously.
We got like five guys over 40 points.
Yeah. And me and you both right around 160.
Yeah.
If me and you would have played each other, that would have been pretty depressing. I would have been thoroughly depressed with a what, 1.8 loss after being second highest score.
My app hasn't been working, so I can't even. I can only open it up one out of every like 10 times that I try. So
yeah, I know other people have been having problems too. I haven't on Android.
Lucas, you still have a chance.
I mean,
no, you don't.
No, you do. Keep hope.
I mean, you should keep hope because you want the points for, but you do not have a chance.
You know, and I'm pretty bummed out about it. You know, I was really happy with my undefeated season, but I guess, you know, I take the L on this one and then drop down to still being tied for first.
You are also, what's it called? You're third in points four. So, you know, you're in the upper half and got a good record, so looks good for the playoffs.
I'm sorry, to double back to the Packers game quick, are we going to talk about how former President George W. Bush and Ellen DeGeneres were hanging out?
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
Were they seated there together in VIP seats and didn't have anything to do with it? Or
no way. They had to have like coordinated something. Or at least known.
I feel like Ellen would have definitely preferred, though, to not be on national TV next to George W. Bush. I have no idea.
I feel like a lot of people treat George W. Bush as like the funny old former president who, you know, is a lovable scamp. Say what you will about, you know, some of our presidents. I don't think George Bush was the worst president we've ever had, but like, still, he kind of avoided long-lasting controversy, at least in the eyes of the media, right about now. I mean, hey, if Sean Spicer can be on Dancing with the Stars, George Bush can sit next to Ellen.
Do his paintings.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, president's such a weird job.
Yeah.
You can do really, really messed up stuff as the president and then just have a really positive post-presidential career. I haven't heard too much about what George W. Bush is. I mean, granted, to have like the expectation of like a Jimmy Carter type where you're just like a literal fucking saint after you
just like constantly being involved in humanitarian efforts.
Like,
yeah.
You universally adored
like
by everyone after your presidency. Cause obviously your presidency is probably gonna be pretty partisan.
Yeah.
That's a ridiculous expectation, but like you can definitely redeem yourself as a human, I think, after your presidency is over. I don't know what he's done necessarily. I know he paints.
And George Bush is weird, especially since even when he was in office, it was kind of a, is this guy just a figurehead for a lot of conservative people who have a lot of money and they're actually the ones pulling the strings? But
the idea was definitely that he at least wasn't very involved in foreign policy kind of stuff. So,
yeah, and still kind of repercussions for that foreign policy to this day. So,
oh yeah,
probably good that he's staying out of the media.
We should do a collapse sync.
Yes, we should. I am looking at 36, 37, 38, 39.
Yes.
Let's do it at 50 seconds even.
Crisp.
Crisp. Like episode 69 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast. If you enjoyed being titillated by this episode, please subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review, do all of that stuff. Remember to check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/voluntary_viewing. Got a lot of tiers there that you'll probably enjoy. I'm losing the bit. Damn it. Also, be sure to check us out on Twitter. That is at V2_podcast. Update on there regularly. And then send us an email or a direct message if you have any questions or business opportunities for us. There are a lot of places where we could have inserted an ad for White Claw. So if you want us to do that, get in touch. Even if you're just a White Claw fan and you want to pay us money to say good things about it, we'll do it. So long as it doesn't compromise our integrity, we'll do it. At voluntaryviewing@gmail.com. Not at. Voluntaryviewing@gmail.com. I am Lucas DeRuyter, a freelance writer. If you want to check out all the good shit I am writing, follow me on Twitter, @LucasDeRuyter. How are we closing out episode 69 of the Voluntary Viewing Podcast? Ryan?
Oh, man. Do we need a bit?
I think we're finishing hard.
Yeah.
It's funny because 69 means genitals and mouths.
Yeah.
I think that was the end right there.
Yeah. And I'm agreeing, so I'm going to stop recording.